tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Faith can do. if you fall sometimes, you will have the strength to rise.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a blessed week. God is so good all the time, isn't He? It doesn't matter what kind of week you've had, when you have God by your side, no challenge is too big. God is always beside us, whether we are sharing a victory or going through a storm. His love does not change. He is the one constant in this world that we can always count on to be with us in the good times and in the bad times. God is always working all things out for our good. God is still in control, not the enemy. So what is it that I have to share with all of you about God's greatness this week? This is the time of the year when you step outside, you can start to see the leaves falling from the trees. Maybe it feels a little crisper in the morning air. I enjoy this time of year with all its rich, splendid colors. God created the seasons for you and I to enjoy. So instead of rushing right out the door of a morning, let's all try to take a moment to breathe in all of God's fresh air and take in all the nature around us, and give God a big shout out for all the beauty that He has surrounded us with. Praise God. God is so good indeed. Last week we finished part 4 of the armor of God, and today we will be on part 5 of the armor of God. For those of you who may be hearing this for the first time, this 6-part series of the armor of God is based off of the Bible study called The Armor of God by Priscilla Shire. The message comes from Ephesians 6:10-19. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. It is suggested that the primary emphasis for this book was that by grace we have been saved through faith, not by our own doing, but it is a gift of God. Paul furthermore wanted to prepare the Christians for their walk with God and wanted us to know that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In order for us to be prepared for all that we face here on earth, we need what it talks about in Ephesians, the full armor of God, so that we can withstand the evil days and the evil one and his minions until God brings us home to heaven. God has provided literally everything for us, right down to every detail of our lives. We certainly cannot boast of all of our own accomplishments, because if we were left to our own devices, we would just make a terrible mess of our lives. Many of us can testify to that, myself included. God has given us the Bible. The Bible is our instruction manual for how to live our lives as God created us to be. Inside the Bible is hundreds of pages on literally every subject that we humans face, instructing and preparing us for the spiritual battle that God knew we would face. God knew that it would be too much for us to face on our own, but not too much for us if we put on the armor of God. And even that, God has prepared for us. This week we are going to be talking about the shield of faith, and so at this time let us go ahead and bow our head in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. We are so grateful for your word, your instruction, your guidance, your comfort, your love. You are Lord of all. There is no place that you are not, and there is no time that you have not. Today we will pick up our shield of faith. We trust your word. We depend on your word. We will lean on your word. Your word is truth. Your word teaches what is right, and it teaches us how to follow you. Your word is everlasting. Your word does not move with the wind or change with public opinion. Because we have picked up your shield of faith, we will recognize doubt, and we will respond quickly. We declare that every doubt dart that is fired against us will be met with faith and trust in you, Father. You alone are what we need. Dear Heavenly Father, please use me as a vessel to get your message out to your children. May the words I speak come straight from you. And whomever this message is meant for, I hope it will reach their ears and enter their heart. We give you all the praise and glory in your precious and holy Son, Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you all for joining me in that moment of prayer. So let's begin. Faith is one of God's greatest gifts. It is the means by which we receive grace and come into a right relationship with God. It is because we have been justified through faith that we belong to God and have peace with Him. The word justified is an act of God not only forgiving the believer's sins, but putting in them the righteousness of Christ. This only comes through faith. It is not something that we earn through our own works. Hebrews 11:1 says, Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. And in verse 6, it stresses the importance of faith when it says, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Satan's attacks can sometimes make us doubt God. How many of you can relate to me out there? But faith prompts us to believe God. We give in to temptation when we believe what it has to offer us is better than what God has promised. Faith reminds us that though fulfillment of God's promises may not be readily visible to us, God is true to His word. When Satan attempts to plague with doubt or entice us with some instant gratification, faith recognizes the lie and quickly extinguishes the arrows. When Satan accuses us, faith chooses to believe that Jesus has redeemed us and that there is no more condemnation. Because we have faith in God, our suffering need not faze us. In fact, we can persevere under that. I know that sounds strange, folks, but the things that Satan attempts to use to destroy us can actually become a tool in the hands of God. All believers have God's promise. And that promise is this: everyone born of God overcomes the world. Faith is the protective barrier between us and Satan. When we believe God and take up His shield of faith, we remain grounded in truth, and the lies of the enemy lose their powers over us. We become overcomers. Have you ever known someone who you can actively see evidence of God's activity in the rhythms of their life? It is truly a wonderful thing to witness. And when people see us, they should also see that same evidence of God working in our lives. We should all be praying with anticipation of our answered prayers. Pray, believe, expect, see, ask, and receive. Faith is knowing. It's taking action. I have shared this many times, but I love it, and I'm going to share it again with all of you. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so. Many people talk about having faith, but they don't put their faith into action. In Proverbs 35, the Bible says, He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. And in James 2:20-26, the Bible tells us, Faith without works is useless. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We take up the shield of faith by doing what God asks us to do, no matter how risky or intimidating the circumstances. From giving a gift to a stranger, or being the first to mend fences with friends, to even larger, more life-altering things, like moving from one state to another, our commitment to engaging our shield of faith is the key to unlocking the door to spiritual vibrancy. It also keeps us from falling prey to the enemy's attacks to try to distract us, to lead us into temptation, and to discourage us. It makes all the difference in the world when we are completely committed to acting on the promises and the directives of God. Faith is not all talking about or thinking about or even celebrating God's truth. That's not all of it. It is also the process of adapting your behavior, your decisions, and ultimately your whole lifestyle so that it is in accordance with what God has asked you to do without needing to see the evidence that it will all work out in the end. Satan has a plan for each of our lives too, just as God does. But Satan does not really care what happens to us, just as long as he can draw us away from God. And that is his primary reason for doing everything that he does to us. But God sincerely loves us and wants only the best for us. Did you know that the flaming arrows targeted at us are not primarily meant to kill or destroy us? They are primarily meant to distract us. How does the enemy distract us? He puts insecurity, fear, doubt, temptation, anxiety, worry about what-ifs, discouragement, guilt, hopelessness, hateful thoughts about another person, etc., into our heads. Have you ever noticed that when things are going really well in our life, and we let down our guard for just a moment, that there are oftentimes will come up a sudden increase in a stressful life circumstance somewhere else in our life? That is Satan. When we let our guard down, we have given Satan all the invitation he needs to enter our life and create chaos. He distracts us so that he can blindside us with all of his lies. The enemy studies us and tailor makes our distractions. He studies our tendencies and our habits and our deepest fears and weaknesses, and he aims his arrows at those areas in particular. He knows he can't destroy us because we are eternally secure in Jesus. But he fully intends to sidetrack our attention by setting any number of eternal fires ablaze in our life. The enemy wants you to contemplate being disobedient to God. Entertain crippling doubts and burden your conscience with paralyzing accusations so that you will be completely unfocused when he sneaks up behind us. The fire extinguisher for such emergencies is the shield of faith. Faith causes the blazing arrows to fizzle. As you move forward, you will sense a holy confidence swelling, a bold courage growing, and a hopeful anticipation rising in you, pushing back the obstacles that have once overwhelmed you. As you keep moving forward, you can feel those vices disintegrating, because you know you're walking in obedience to God. Walking in faith means doing what God has called each of us to do, following through on God's instructions, despite how incapable we might feel. Friends, the shield of faith works. I can testify to that. The enemy knows the power of faith too, and that's why he works overtime to keep you and I too busy or too afraid to take risks. But friends, let me tell you that the only way strongholds can be broken in our life is if we push past all those internal things holding us back. Friends, refuse to let the devil distract you any longer. Take up the shield of faith and send Satan packing. The shield of faith is our first line of defense against the enemy. In Matthew 16:21-23, the Bible tells us, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." A shield guards and deflects, causing things to bounce off its target. A shield can incapacitate the enemy. But a shield won't be able to do its job if we don't first have it in place for use. And so I know it seems like it's kind of short, but now it seems like a good time to go ahead and take a short break and go to our first song. And so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the with me in the storm. Sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry. With me in the dark, with me at the dawn.
Than the sea, His mercy is unfailing. His arms a fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. My refuge, You are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful.
still, there is a river that flows from Calvary's tree. A fountain for the thirsty, your grace that washes over me. Let faith arise.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. I am so happy you've decided to join me. If you are just tuning in, we are on part 5 of The Armor of God. For the past 4 weeks, we have been in a mini-series from the book of Ephesians about the armor of God, starting with chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. Today we are talking about the shield of faith. If you have missed any part of this mini-series, I strongly urge you to go back to www.shaziz.net at your convenience to find the podcast page and scroll down to part 1 of this mini-series and take some time to listen to the message. I believe you will be blessed. Invite a friend over and you can listen to it together, or share a link with someone. Let's try to get the Word of God out to as many people as we can. We are living in a society that is so corrupt and evil, in a world full of darkness. And so, folks, we need to be the lighthouses for the lost souls now more than ever. And that means each one of us doing our part to spread the gospel. So let's continue with today's message. As I said earlier, faith is knowing. It's taking action. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, so that it might be so, simply because God said so. Many people talk about having faith, but don't put their faith into action. So I want you to think about something for a moment. I'm going to use something in my own life as an example to prove a point. As you know, Shaziz and I recently contracted with someone to get a new roof put on our house. We called around, we made appointments with the companies to come out and take a look at the roof. Each of them gave us a quote, and we decided on the best one to suit our needs. The roofing guy came out with the contract. He went over the details of the contract. We agreed to pay him the cost of the supplies up front, and the remaining balance would be paid in full when the job was complete. We signed the contract and set up a date to get started on the roof. Now let me ask you a question. What was the difference in the commitment level between the time that we initially got the quote and the time when the roofing guy came back out to get the contract signed and pick up the money for the supplies? The level of commitment went up to status, we are in this for the long haul. Once you sign and pay the person, what you start, you complete. You trust that they will stand behind their work and give you what you paid them for. The company trusts you to pay them the balance when they are finished with your roof. So in addition to the commitment level, what is the difference in risk involved? You got it. It means that no matter what happens, you are both now committed to following the plan to completion. No backing down. It's a deeper commitment, and it's sacrifice. It's putting feet to action and moving forward. So what did our willingness to sign that contract and pay the man mean? It meant that we were serious about our commitment to the goal, hiring someone to put a new roof on our house. What did it reveal to the roofing contractor? It revealed that we trusted him, that we believed he would do the job he said he would, and that we had faith in his work, believing he was the right man for the job. And that, friends, is what is called in good faith. Taking up the shield of faith is kind of like that. It is proof that you trust God like you say you do. Faith usually involves some sort of sacrifice because there is likely some level of risk on our part. But it is a risk worth taking if the one on whom you are depending has proven himself dependable time and again, from one generation to the next. Our God is faithful, friends, and this is why we can live a faith-filled life. Faith does not control God. It doesn't make God do something. It just gives us a better understanding of what happens when we show faith in God. It gives us access to what God has already intended for us. What we mean by having faith actually says far less about us and a lot more about God. Faith does not focus on the quality or quantity of human belief. It focuses on how trustworthy, true, and loyal the object of that belief has proven himself to be. In Matthew 17:20, the Bible tells us, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." We exhibit faith all the time in the ordinary things that we do every day. We go outside to get in our car, having faith that it will start and carry us to where we need to go that day. We get up in the morning and we head for our coffee pot to make some coffee, and we have faith that when we change the filter, add coffee and water, and push the switch to on, that it will make coffee for us. Time and time again, our God is faithful in the small things and the big things. Look back at different times in your life, times when things seemed really impossible, and it didn't seem like there was going to be a way. But in God's perfect timing, He made a way. A little faith is all you need when it's firmly planted in the right place. Good faith isn't a certain size or strength. It's simply faith that's directed at and rooted in a good God. Listen carefully, friends. If you are struggling to move forward in obedience to God, you do not need bigger faith. You just need to realize how big your God is. The more faithful and strong you believe Him to be, the more willing you will be to depend on Him. Your level of faith will always be tied to your perception of God. If your perception of Him is faulty, your faith will be faulty. If your perception of him is right on point, your faith will be too. You don't need more faith. You need a better understanding and an accurate view of the faithfulness of your God. Our action or inaction is a test that gives us an accurate reading of what we believe to be true about God. We may feel like we have very little faith, and yet still be a woman or man of strong faith because we choose to move forward despite what we feel. In the same way, we can say that we are men and women of faith, and yet when God calls us to do something, we refuse to because of fear or doubt or for some other reason. Sometimes we get too distracted by life circumstances that seem more pressing or urgent to us at the moment. So we can never detect our level of faith or the faith of another by how we feel, only by what we are willing to do in obedience to God. As you actively remind yourself of how faithful and reliable your God truly is, you will become more willing to rely on Him completely. In Psalms 100, verse 5, the Bible says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Faith simply means acting and believing that God is telling the truth. Truth is the hinge which the entire issue of faith-filled living rests upon. If you don't know the truth, you can never really know how to act with it. The truth of God is what makes having faith in God worth it all. Without truth, we have nothing solid to hang our shield of faith on. It is critical that we know the truth of God and what the Word reveals. Knowing all of this doesn't mean that you won't experience times in your life when you feel discouraged. But always trust in God and what you have learned through your relationship with Him. Do not rely upon your own feelings or your own understandings. Remember, the enemy goes around studying each of us, and he knows our weaknesses. Do not let disappointments in life keep you from moving forward, and don't allow yourself to be disabled by doubt, fear, or exhaustion. Hearing God and knowing the truth matters. When we talk about faith, we must also talk about hearing and discerning the Word of God. It is critically important to hear the voice of God clearly and accurately. If we are not careful, faith can quickly turn to foolishness. Foolishness is impulsive, reckless, dangerous behavior, being too confident of ourselves, perhaps thinking that we don't need God in a decision that we make, or rushing into things. Faith is basing all our decisions on the Word of God. Knowing God is working on your circumstances and being patient for Him to complete His work in you. Some of the issues we face in life do not require a need for personal revelation. God has already made it perfectly clear on many things, and those things are unchanging. They are not up for discussion. It is simply because God said so. Have any of you heard that when you were a kid? Perhaps you went to one of your parents to ask them for something and they said no. When you asked them why, they simply said, "Because I said so." That was the end of the discussion. As believers, we have the privilege of knowing God's direction for us as we prayerfully seek it. God is faithful to show us the truth, to give us His direction for the next step that we are supposed to take. This is why it is so important to be able to discern the voice of God. It is critical that we are confident and that our next step is affirmed before we take a step forward. It is for our own protection. It keeps us in balance as we pursue a lifestyle protected by the shield of truth. How do we know if we're hearing the voice of God instead of just hearing what we want to hear? Our lives, as we all know, can sometimes feel like a constant noise in our head. voices from everywhere influencing the way we think and the way we feel. But friends, the good news is that God speaks to all of us all the time. God has promised to lead His children by His Spirit and enable them to know His voice. As you fellowship with God more and more, you will learn to know exactly what the Spirit of God is saying to you about every situation. Of course, this doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. But as Christians, we know that we do not have to go through life blindly making decisions. When you learn to tune into God's voice, it won't be an occasional thing, but an everyday part of life. And that is why, in the New Testament, Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear," 15 different times. And so once again, how do you know that you're hearing from God? First thing I would suggest is check your receiver. In Jeremiah 29:13, the Bible tells us, "And you will seek for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Have you ever tried to listen to the radio, folks, without turning the radio on? Of course not. You already know that if you don't turn the radio on, you won't hear anything. When you do turn the radio on, you expect to hear something. So how do you check your spiritual receiver? Ask yourself this one question. Do you expect to hear from God? Some people say, "Well, God doesn't speak to me." That is far from being the truth. God speaks to us all the time. He is speaking to you right now. But if you're not expecting to hear from Him, if you don't have your receiver turned on, then you won't hear from Him. God doesn't communicate with us in the same way that we communicate with one another. He communicates from His Spirit to your spirit. Then your spirit communicates what you hear to your mind. This is what is called an inward witness. It is very similar to a thought or a prompting. It's a very subtle and requires a closeness with God and regular practice to hear it more quickly and clearly. 2. Find His frequency. In John 10:4, the Bible says, "And they know His voice." Most often we miss what God is telling us because we are tuned in to hear something of great, huge revelation. But it doesn't work that way. God is subtle. His voice comes to us as a thought or as a prompting, as I said earlier. You might be hearing Him right now. Perhaps He's telling you to clean out your workshop, stop watching television, go spend more time with your kids. God will talk to you about the small things you need to change in your life, adjustments you need to make. So learn to discern His voice. If someone calls you on the phone, before they even tell you who they are, you most likely already know. And this is because you have spent so much time with them, the sound of their voice and their way of saying things has become so well known to you that it's easy to recognize. And the same is true in our relationship with God. If you want to get to a place where you don't have to wonder if the voice you are hearing is God, the devil, or your own, then you need to spend time, and as much time as possible, with God. A lot of time. The more you keep your mind and your heart full of the things of this world, the more difficult it will be to hear from God. But the more time you spend with God, the more certain you will become about hearing God's voice. And so, line it up with His Word, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, "All Scripture is inspired by God." The best way to know if you are hearing God's voice is to line it up with what you hear against the Word of God. God will never tell you to do, think, or say anything contrary to His Word. If you have a thought and you don't know if it's God or not, then look it up in the Bible. The Spirit of God will only tell you to do things that will give you a more abundant life. Every change He tells you to make is designed to bring blessings into your life. God trains us to recognize His voice through His written word. He uses it to tune our spiritual ears to what is real and to be able to easily recognize what is false. To live in confidence that you are hearing from God, you need to have the knowledge of His word continually in your heart. And this is done by drawing nearer to God and seeking Him. The best part of hearing God's voice is not only being able to avoid the false voices of the enemy, but also you will be given access to secrets and revelation knowledge that will make you the head and not the tail. And that reference comes from Deuteronomy 28:13. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible tells us, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Friends, check your receiver. What frequency are you on? Are you listening to the things of this world, or are you listening to God? Once you clearly know the truth of God or the promise of God in regard to a certain matter, then it is time to move forward in a way that lines up to God's word. But listen carefully, because your feelings can never be the final determining factor for your actions. Feelings change, folks, and they are subject to external stimuli. Actions done in faith must be anchored in something more solid and fixed. The enemy is always hoping you will be swayed by how you feel instead of acting on God's word. This is why he is always working overtime in our lives, to keep us feeling insecure, unloved, incapable, and are afraid. Satan hopes that you will trust those feelings and be directed by them instead of following the truth of God's word. Satan loves to put fear in our mind. Fear is one of the enemy's most useful deterrents to faith-filled living. Fear will make you drop your shield and run away. In fact, fear is one of Satan's primary schemes for crippling God's people. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible tells us, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Have you been experiencing incessant worry, up all night anxiety, worst case scenarios becoming the only probabilities that you could think about? These are the kinds of crippling thoughts that Satan wants you to keep in your mind. With these thoughts, Satan knows you can't move forward. He knows you can't stay focused on God. Fear is a very important issue to God, as it is mentioned more than 300 times in the Bible. God tells us, different variations, to not be afraid, fear not, etc. You know that time when you are searching high and low for that one verse to tell you something, to calm you and comfort you? Well, there it is, friends. Do not be afraid. Fear is a way the enemy keeps us from walking in God's truth. Wherever there is fear, rest assured that the enemy is nearby. And if you are in such a place today, God is telling you, don't be afraid. Stay in God's word. Look up. Keep moving forward. Don't let the enemy get in the way of the good work God is doing in your life. Take up the shield of faith, friends. What God has in store for our life is far better than what the enemy has planned for us. Has something been standing in your way this week? As you look out before you, do you see a crossroads? Have you been asking yourself whether to take the risk of faith and follow God where he is leading in a particular area of your life? Friends, may I remind you that God has carried the weight of the covenant with his people across generations. His loyalty, integrity, and faithfulness is unmatched. You can trust him completely. In Hebrews 10:23, the Bible tells us, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful." And in Psalms 118:6, the Bible tells us, "The Lord is on our side, I will not fear." In Romans 8:28, the Bible tells us, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Yes, friends, God is always worth the risk. He will never let you down. Take up that shield of faith and follow Him. Make that decision today. Let us go in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the shield of faith provided to each of us. And with this shield, we thank You for assuring our victory if we follow Your plan. Our faith is in You and You alone. Apart from You, we can do nothing. But with You, we can do all things. No temptation that comes our way can penetrate Your protecting hand. We will not be afraid, for You are going with us throughout this day. There are blazing darts headed our way right now, but we will claim our victory ahead of time. Dear Heavenly Father, You already know what those blazing darts are, and You have already provided the escape. We are committed to You. There is no turning back. We are in this for the long haul. Thank You in advance for all of our answered prayers. In Your Son Jesus' holy name, and all of God's people said amen. God bless each and every one of you for joining me out here today. I look forward to joining all of you again next week, same time, same place. And so, our first closing song here is "You Never Let Go" by Matt Redman. God bless.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know You are near. And I will fear no
mountains deep, my faith will stand.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.